Well, welcome to worship, and hope that if you're visiting, you enjoy your worship with us this morning. Following worship, tea and coffee. In the Salvation Army, we cannot do without our tea and coffee. And so tea and coffee will be served with cake. With cake, yes. And that's in the community hall immediately after our worship. We managed to get together a nice group of bandsmen, a small group, but we'll be going up to the Triangle at 12:05 to hold the open air. Tomorrow, the Sally Wags will eat as usual. Then on Wednesday, Friends Together have as their speaker Sister Karen Knight from the Quiddenham Monastery. That's unusual in the Salvation Army. So you can come along if you don't have to be a regular at the Friends Together. So that's at 1:30 for refreshments and 2 o'clock start. On Friday, we have at 10 o'clock till 12, the coffee morning. The late fifth group will be meeting. I'm really glad that you're listening, Shirley, because you're the only one who's listening. Nobody else. So, Shirley says the coffee is on Thursday, and she's right, of course, from 10 to 12. The fifth ladies will meet at 10:30, then explorers in the afternoon at 3:30. Band and songsters, your rehearsals are on the normal days and the normal time. Now, next Sunday is slightly different. We have Homelessness Sunday, and it's led by Captain Daniel Holland, who is the regional manager of the Homelessness Service Unit for the Salvation Army. So it'll be very interesting next Sunday. So we hope to see you there. But if you come on Wednesday for coffee, tough. There'll be nobody here. Okay. Thank you, Captain.
Thank you, John, for confusing us. I was going to say one thing before I get into the main business. The open air is not the band's effort. It's everyone's effort. So I invite you to join with us as we go out onto the triangle later. The open air always feels far more successful when there's a few of us there. It makes it easier for people to stop. It's one of those mysterious ministries that we have, isn't it? But we know that people are blessed through it, even though we don't necessarily see the results. But I encourage you to come along later on, about 12:05, and it's an extension of our gathered worship here together. Later on in our meeting, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 20, verses 32 to 38. And it's quite a moving scene, really, when Paul, the Apostle Paul, is meeting with the leaders of the church in Ephesus, which he had helped found. It's quite a moving scene. I'm sorry, I had my flu vaccine yesterday and my COVID vaccine yesterday, and I'm feeling a bit... What was I going to say? Beautiful scene. A beautiful scene. And we'll see that we see an example of Paul's generosity in that scene. And we'll see for ourselves that giving can become a blessing if we view our giving and if we view what we have and what we will need as provided by God's grace. I'm going to, first of all, as a call to worship, read to you Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the low-born are but a breath, the high-born are but a lie. If weighed in a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love, and you reward everyone according to what they have done. It's good to read Psalms in their entirety, isn't it? Because very often we truncate them. We cut them up and we go to the bits that we like. Oh, you are my fortress and I will not be shaken. But when we take these Psalms in their entirety, they recognize that life isn't always straightforward and life isn't always easy. But God does not change, and he is a worthy recipient of our trust. Let's join together in singing. It's song number 12 in the songbook, Eternal God Unchanging. The band has introduced us to the melody already, and I invite you to stand as we sing together. Well, that's a good one, isn't it? Please take your seats. That's a good one. And aren't we thankful for poets that can write such wonderful words, and words that speak into our times like very few songs do. We now sing together Jesus' name. above all names. And after we have done, I'm going to open the floor for prayer. And I'm going to set the number at 4 people. I haven't asked anyone to pray. But I'm going to ask that 4 people make themselves available to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to pray on behalf of the rest of us. But let's first of all sing these words. Jesus' name above all names, beautiful Saviour, glorious Lord. I invite you now to close your eyes and bow your heads, and perhaps in the stillness of these moments and in the quietness of your own hearts and souls and minds, perhaps run through these words and make them your words of adoration in these moments. Heavenly Father, we worship you and we adore you this morning, and we thank you for the privilege that it is to gather together. We thank you for the bonds that unite us, Lord. The bonds of faith placed in you and salvation found through you. We worship you, Heavenly Father, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us, for what you mean to us, for what you have given us, and for what you will continue to provide for us. We think of those amongst our number who are not with us today, and that we would expect to see, Lord, and we pray that you would draw near to them wherever they are this morning, Lord, and also move us to perhaps contact them if we weren't expecting to see them, if we were expecting to see them. Lord, give us a spirit of encouragement. Lord, give us a spirit of courage to move towards the other so that we can truly be your people. We pray for the world around us, Lord, and the many things that preoccupy us. We pray for the government of this country, Lord, and we pray that you would give them wisdom. Heavenly Father, we continue to pray for the country of Ukraine, Lord, and as interest wanes, Lord, we pray that the courage of the Ukrainian people would not be diminished. Lord, there's so much on our minds, and we often struggle to make the prayer that your son taught us.
that thy will be done, Lord. Give us the trust and the confidence in you that we require, so that we will know that we are not alone, so that we will know, Lord, that you are at work and that your will indeed be done. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord. Lord, challenge us this morning. Give us fresh insight. Push us to holier living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I turn now to the songsters, who are going to bring to us a song entitled Power in the Blood.
Thank you, songsters, for that rousing rendition and for that encouraging message. Right, well, here we go then. I'm going to jump up and down. I'm going to sing your name forever. I'm going to shout out loud. I'm going to deafen the crowd. I'm going to praise your name forever. Are you ready? Most people seem to know what I'm talking about. Let's stand up. This is the song that we're practicing because there's an imbalance in this one between your actions and between the singing. So we need to kind of try and bring them back up. Let's go.
I'm gonna jump up and down, gonna spin right around, gonna praise your name forever. I'm gonna shout out loud, gonna jump in the crowd, gonna send my praise to heaven. I'm gonna jump up and down, gonna spin right around, gonna praise your name forever. I'm gonna shout out loud, gonna jump in the crowd, gonna send my praise to heaven. I will run this race and I will never stop. I follow Jesus till the day I drop. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you've got such a lot, when you've got not a lot, why be happy? I'm gonna jump up and down, gonna spin right around, gonna praise your name forever. I'm gonna shout out loud, gonna deafen the crowd, gonna send my praise to heaven. I'm gonna jump up and down, gonna spin right around, gonna praise your name forever. I'm gonna shout out loud, gonna deafen the crowd, gonna send my praise to heaven. I'll run this race and I will never stop. I follow Jesus till the day I drop. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you've got such a lot, when you've got not a lot, why be happy? Such a lot, when you got not a lot, why be happy?
Ooh, it's a good one. We're getting there. There's some way to go to be able to do those actions and sing at the same time. But with weekly practice, we will without doubt get there. We now listen to the message from the band, All For Thee.
Thank you to the band and thank you to Kevin for such a sensitive choice for this morning. And I think adding the words adds a whole new dimension to that as well. Take my life and let it be wholly consecrated to thee. What would that look like for each and every one of us? So as I said earlier, the Bible reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 20, verses 32 to 38. And I have been encouraging you to grab a Bible on your phone, just to follow along, and it might help you understand, well, where does he get that idea from? I tend to stick close to the text, but it'll give you that assurance as well, and it might speak to you as well. But today I thought, and I don't know why, this is an idea that came to me during the week that might be worth reading this together. So it's going to be displayed on the screen. Keep your Bibles to hand for when I'm about to speak. But I've got no idea. This came to me this week and I thought it'd be good if we read this Bible reading together. So I've got no agenda, no purpose other than it seemed like the right thing to do. Oh, Acts chapter 20, and we'll read from 32 to the end of the chapter at 38. So Acts chapter 20, verses 32 to 38. Let's read this together. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words himself said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. So it would be, I think, difficult to argue that giving does not play an important role in Jesus' teaching. And it would be equally difficult to say that giving is not associated with blessing. Consider these two examples, the first being Luke chapter 6, verse 38, and I quoted this last week. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Later on in Luke chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. In the passage that we have just read together and that I'm about to develop a little, Paul echoes this central teaching of Jesus's. And as always, the context is important. And the present episode begins back in verse 17, where the apostle meets in Miletus with the elders of the church in Ephesus, which he had helped establish. It's a sad farewell. Paul was heading to Jerusalem in the first instance, but his ultimate destination is Rome, where he is to be imprisoned and perhaps eventually executed. Paul has quite a lot of credibility among these people, you would imagine. He had taught them, he had raised them in the faith, and now he offers them a final few words of advice. And this address divides neatly into three parts as Paul sets out his expectations for the Christian leaders who will serve after him. In verse 28,
he instructs them to feed the church. In verses 29 to 31, he warns them against various dangers facing the church. And finally, in verses 33 to 35, he advises against greed for personal gain and encourages the blessing of giving. And Paul closes this address by echoing Jesus and sharing the teaching upon Paul himself had based his life. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And Paul is characteristically bold throughout this passage. For him, a crucial step in living the Christian life to the full is to give. And out of giving, Christians, believers, followers of Christ are blessed. And Paul frames his teaching very carefully. In verse 32, he sets his whole farewell speech on the context of God's grace, freely forgiving love. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. God's grace is able to build us up, and give us an inheritance. God's grace provides for us now and will provide for us in the future. So trusting in this truth is a crucial step in experiencing the Christian life to the full. Throughout this short passage for today, Paul cements his case by appealing to his own example. He hasn't coveted wealth or possessions, and he has worked to support the weak. As Paul shares his final address with the faithful of Ephesus, and while others see a grim future, the Apostle Paul makes a demonstration of what it truly means to live life and to live it to the full. While the Ephesian Christians weep, Paul comforts them and reminds them of the words of Jesus: it is more blessed to give than to receive. The difficulty, I believe, with this teaching is that we know that it's true, while at the same time we doubt its veracity. Perplexing, perhaps. And why might that be? Well, I think it's because we're all caught up in the consumerist society that surrounds us. And it becomes so easy to buy into the illusion that spending something for something new will in turn make us feel new. So it's difficult, particularly in the society in which we live, to ignore the false gods of consumerism. Yet instinctively, at least I hope, we know that great living comes in great giving. Giving of our time, our energy, or our possessions, including our money. 20th century research reveals through scientific study that what Jesus knew through spiritual instinct. Maslow identified a hierarchy of five types of human needs, represented in the form of a triangle. And at the top of that triangle, and so therefore leading in that order of importance, is self-actualization, achieving one's full potential. For Maslow, that was the greatest need, was fulfilling, the greatest need of human beings was to fulfill their potential. Second, Maslow put esteem, that feeling of accomplishment. Third, he put love and belonging, intimate relationships and friends. Fourth, he put safety and security. And fifth, the foundation on which the rest is built, really, Maslow identified physiological needs: food, water, warmth, rest. But I think as Christians, we should recognise that Maslow is missing one category, really, one need. So I think it's important that we add a sixth need to his kind of his hierarchy, and I dare say that we would kind of place this one at the top. And that would be the need for a spiritual connection with God. I wonder if you've ever asked yourself why Jesus speaks so much about money. Why do so many of his parables discuss the appropriate or inappropriate use of money? And I want to suggest this morning that he does so because money has the power to help or hinder people from meeting the six basic needs that determine the quality of our daily life. We know well the phrase, money can't buy happiness. It's a well-used phrase, isn't it? And it's absolutely true. But the way we use our money directly influences how happy we are and how fulfilled we feel. So for Jesus, giving is an essential facet of living life and living it to the full, as the fourth evangelist would put it. So it should be so for us too, as his followers. John Wesley is thought to have said that if you have poor giving habits, you are robbing God. Jesus, however, went further than that, because he would say, if you have poor giving habits, you are robbing yourself. We are enriched by giving, and we are blessed by giving and through giving. To conclude, the high point of salvationist worship is the moment we are about to reach, when we are invited to respond to everything that has been said and done throughout our time of worship together. And we will have the opportunity once again to claim life, to claim life in all its fullness, life as we dream it would be, but that only Jesus can offer. And we will once again have the opportunity to decide once more, I suppose, whether we trust our Lord and believe his word. In today's passage, the Apostle Paul speaks to us directly, I think. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus invites us on an adventure of faith, and faith is the path to experiencing life in all its fullness. May we be blessed in our giving, in whatever form it may take. We're going to sing a song right now. It's number 63 in the song books, and it's a well-known hymn, a well-loved hymn. And it says, the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And in these moments, we are reminded of God's provision for us. But we're going to add this modern chorus to it that Stuart Townend wrote. And we're going to declare, and I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. That is the basis on which Paul built his life. That's the basis on which Paul could give to others. That's the basis on which Paul could approach his fate with confidence. Because his faith, his entire being was built on his trust for God. So let's affirm that this morning through the singing of this one. And I wonder if you're moved particularly by the chorus this morning, and if you want to really make that affirmation, you want to make it publicly, I wonder if you would stand and say this morning, Lord, I will trust in you. I will trust in you alone, and I won't trust in my money. I won't trust in my desires. I won't trust in what the world tells me, but I'll trust in you alone. Let's join together.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness when we've placed our trust in the wrong things, Lord. When we've placed our trust in the materialism that surrounds us. When we've placed our trust in our own intelligence, our own skills, Lord. When we've placed our trust in things that we valued or that we value, over what you call us to do. Lord, so we trust in you this morning. We place our trust in you, Lord. And when it comes to our giving of time and our giving of money, of time and of our talents, Lord, we trust that you will provide. So Lord, when we're worried that our money won't go far enough or that our energy is waning, Lord, we trust in your grace. We trust in your provision, Lord. Remove everything that prevents us from moving forward with you, Lord. We make this prayer in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our closing song this morning is a nod really to John Ellison, because this is one of his favourite choices for open air. But it's true, he came to give us life in all its fullness. He came to make the blind to see. He came to banish death and doubt and darkness. He came to set his people free. This is all the things that Jesus can do for us. Nothing else will do these things for us. Nothing else will set us free. No one else
will open our eyes to the things that we ought to be seeing. No one else can give us life and life in all its fullness. Jesus can. So we place our trust in him. We follow the lead of the band, and I hope you're going to enjoy this one, John. It's for you. Oh, and the offering will be taken up during the singing of this song as well. That I now understand all the signs of this that I'm seeing before me. Okay, I understand now, sorry. One of them. I was ready to go. For those that don't know, that is a song from a Salvation Army musical in the 60s, the 70s, and up until the 80s. Two prominent Salvation Army officers called John Gowans and John Larson were brought together to write musicals about faith and life in the Salvation Army, and that was one of them. And I almost felt like putting a production on. What? Go ahead. Who's with me? Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. Amen.